You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Okay, we are down to the third installment of our series called Grace Changes Everything. Ever since we have embarked on this series, for me personally, this has been, shall I say, transformational in a sense that every time we start talking about the grace of God, it always is something that, you know, it's not just a good story that we're looking at the book of Luke, but we see, of course, the grace of God that is, in effect, you know, causing some changes in our lives. And that is my prayer for us as well, that this one is not going to be just, you know, another story for us. But I hope and pray that we will get to embrace what God would want to convey to every single one of us. I did mention last week that, you know, 2 Sundays ago, we were in Los Baños. We ministered to our church in Los Baños. And I did say, if you remember, that there was a person in Los Baños na napagkamalan akong freshman. Okay, so akala niya freshman ako, di ba? So hindi ako makatulog, mga 3 araw rin. Sabi ko, bolero tong taong to. But anyway, ang nabanggit ko, sabi ko, okay, kasi napagkamalan niya akong freshman, ang tawag dun, Grace, of course. Obviously, hindi naman ako mukhang freshman, pero Grace po yun. The reason I'm sharing it, because I'd like for us to know, we have established this last Sunday, that when it comes to grace, every single one of us here this afternoon can extend grace to someone. So that's why we can actually use the word loosely. So I'm sharing that because I'd like for us to know that grace as a word only becomes powerful when it is associated with God. The grace that we're talking about here is not some ordinary grace, but this is God's grace that is at work in our life. Turn your Bibles with me for a while to the book of Luke. We'll look at verse 18 here this afternoon. Okay, we are in Luke chapter 18. If you started off this series, you would know that the manner in which we're going to tackle this series is by us looking at the different narratives only in the book of Luke. Okay, so now we are in chapter 18. Okay, we will read from verses 35 down to verse 43. Luke chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. It says here, we're reading from the ESV. As Jesus drew near to Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And hearing a crowd going by, the blind man inquired what this meant. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And the blind man cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And those who were in front of him rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, what do you want me to do for you? He said, Lord, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Join in prayer, farewell. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you, Lord, for another opportunity, Lord, to come before you, Lord, to worship you publicly, corporately. It is my prayer, Lord, that indeed this will not just be a series title for us, but I hope and pray, Lord, that this will be an experience, Lord, for every single one of us, Lord, that indeed your grace changes everything. Lord, it is my prayer here today, Lord, that that the truth of your gospel will implode in our lives. And therefore, Father God, it is my prayer, Lord, that we will all, Lord, experience, Lord, that the transformational power of the gospel, God, your gospel, Father. And Lord, do not leave lives unchanged here today. Lord, this is a story, Lord, that we're looking at here, an old one, an old narrative. But Lord, this is so relevant, Lord, for every single one of us here today. Because Lord, as we understand, Lord, your word is not bound. Your word is not chained, Lord. Let your word, Lord, let the truth of your word, Lord, be attended, Lord, by your power here today. We lift this up to you, Lord. In your name we pray, amen and amen. Okay, let me see a show of hands for a while. You were with us last Sunday? You were here last Sunday? I'm asking that because I feel like what we have here will further make sense if you started off this series. If you were not here, I'd like to encourage you to go to our website, www.victorydumaguete.org, go to the podcast section, and listen to the preaching last week if in case you were absent, you were not in church last week, okay? So, tingnan mo yung katabi mo ngayon, tingnan mo, mukha bang absent last Sunday yan? Mukha bang absent? Ano natin? Magpa-check attendance kaya tayo next Sunday, ano? Allow me to just open this up for all of us as we start looking to Luke chapter 18, verse 35 to 43. The manner in which we're going to look at this is, you know, perhaps segmentizing verses 35 down to verse 43 this way. On the first verses, we're going to look at it this way. Charity, which is found in verse 35, talking about almsgiving and the story of a blind man who has become a beggar. And curiosity, of course, we would understand in verse 36 that this blind man started asking what the commotion is all about, that he feels like someone was in the crowd. And then if you look at verse 37 to 38, it talks about two kinds of confession, the confession of the blind man and the confession of the crowd. Again, of course, there was a command in verse 41, okay, a command coming from Jesus, and corollary, okay, which simply means the effect or the result. Okay, so gusto ko sana yung charity dyan, lagay ko sana begging. Okay, kaya lang hindi letter C. So charity na lang po, okay? So pagbigyan nyo na lang. I intended to sort it this way because I feel like this is the best way for us to tackle a narrative that we're gonna comb through the verses and perhaps camp on some. I truly feel like a good preaching is always a preaching that begins with a text, stays in the text, and ends with a text. Amen? This is not some sort of pep talks or empty emotionalism for us Christians. Okay, we're going to look at God's word and we will chew on the meat of God's word. Amen? So we're going to look at verse 35, which is charity. Verse 35, it says here, as Jesus drew near to Jericho, Bible says a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. Verse 35 tells every single one of us that, you know, Jesus was nearing a city called Jericho. For us to have a good understanding of the context of what we're reading here, okay, you might be asking, okay, where was he coming from? Why was he coming? Why was he nearing the city of Jericho? In Luke chapter 18, a few verses prior to this one, in Luke chapter 18, verse 31, it says here, and taking the 12, gathering his 12 disciples, it says here, he said to them, see, we are going to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets will be accomplished. That's it. So what do we have here? At this junction, okay, if you remember the past two Sundays, we've covered Luke chapter 7. Is it right? Is it Luke chapter 7? The raising of the widow's dead son and the story of the sinful woman. Okay, those two stories are found in Luke chapter 7. Now, if you go to Luke chapter 18, okay, Luke chapter 18, we are now at the tail end of the earthly ministry of Jesus. Okay? If you open your Bibles, you'd come to understand that the book of Luke has 24 chapters in it. And now we are in chapter 18. So meaning to say, we are nearing the close of the gospel account of the book of Luke. Are folks catching this so far? Okay, so we are the tail end of Jesus' ministry. And you know for a fact, in Luke chapter 18, it says here, he gathered the 12 and they were going to go to Jerusalem. And he started telling them, he was like telling them, okay, everything written about the Son of Man is going to happen now in Jerusalem. Okay? So I think it would be safe for me to assume that all of us here this afternoon knows and understands what's going to happen in Jerusalem. Is that right? Okay, the moment he stepped foot in Jerusalem, what's going to happen? You remember triumphant entry, and then he's going to be what? Persecuted in Jerusalem. He's going to be what? He's going to be crucified. You know his story? So you know, the passion of the Christ. Okay, we are at that junction in the book of Luke right now. Okay, so what we have here is quite interesting because the Bible says he was nearing Jerusalem. And if you look at the map right here of these areas or this region, it gives us a picture that Jerusalem is somewhere here. Where Jesus was coming from is in the region of Galilee. And you have Jericho right here, which is near the Dead Sea. So you kind of get a picture that he was coming from Galilee and he would make his way to Jericho before he goes to Jerusalem. Catch it? So the Bible says he was making his way. It wasn't making his way up north. Okay, it simply means that he was making his way up, an ascent going to Jerusalem. Because to a certain degree, in terms of elevation, Jerusalem is actually higher than the rest of the cities around it. Okay, is there anyone of you here who's been to Israel? So that's what we have here. That they were making their way to Jerusalem. And here's the thing. Okay, here's the thing. If you would notice, Jericho is somewhere in between those places. And let me explain Jericho in a while. But let me just work on our imagination for a while, okay? So this story that we have here in Luke chapter 18 is a story wherein, this is a story that falls on a Passover season. Okay, this story is a story that falls on a Passover season. So meaning to say, if it is Passover season, okay, it is like a feast among the Jewish people, If it is a Passover season, this is the time wherein thousands of Jewish people would make a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Okay, so when Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, verse 31, I'm gathering the 12, let's go to Jerusalem. I'd like for us to know that they were not the only group of people was going to go to Jerusalem. Okay, there are thousands of other people, okay, who's going to make a pilgrimage to the holy city of Jerusalem. So meaning to say, we're talking about crowds upon crowds of people here. Are you getting this so far? Okay, so there's like thousands of people who are making their way to the holy city of Jerusalem. Why? Okay, because it is the feast of the Passover. Okay, the feast of the Passover. And I think all of you understands, you know the story of Passover in the book of Exodus. Okay, it is something that they have been celebrating, okay, as a nation. So, having said that, we kind of get the mood of this narrative. It is quite apparent that the mood is celebratory, it is worshipful, and it is festive. Okay, so I want you to use your imagination right now. I'd like for us to think that this is not some silent pilgrimage. Okay, this is celebratory in nature. It was very festive. There's like, oh, your comare is here, your compare is there. Every single one of the Jewish people are making their way to the city of Jerusalem. So it's like an equivalent to our buglasan here in Negros Oriental. Or perhaps some of you go to Cebu for sinulog. Okay? Baka yung iba sa inyo nakikisayaw pa, di ba? O iba sa inyo binibit, may binibit-bit pa. Ewan ko lang. But anyway, but basically it's something like that. The mood is worshipful. So meaning to say, it is an emotion-packed kind of a season. People are happy. People are also, to a certain extent, in tears because they try to commemorate something that is important for their nation. Okay, so the Bible says they were nearing Jericho, okay, when they saw a blind man. Now, for hundreds of people making their way to Jerusalem, because of the geographical location, you know, Jericho was in the middle. So meaning to say, a lot of people would make their what? They would make their pit stop in Jericho before going to Jerusalem. Catch it? So it's like, you know, after 5 days or 10 days or 15 days of a camel journey, okay, or journey with the rest of your friends, with donkeys and everything, a lot of them will make a pit stop or a layover, okay, in the city of Jericho. Okay, and if you start studying this, you'd come to understand it's but fitting for many of them to make a layover in Jericho. You know why? Because Jericho was such a beautiful city. Okay, probably second to Dumaguete. Just how beautiful is this place? If Dumaguete is called the city of gentle people, sino ba yung mga locals dito? Mga locals. Can I see, if you're from Dumaguete, bakit nga ba to gentle people? Gentle yung mga tao dito. Napansin ko rin, mababait yung mga Dumagueteño. Okay, yung mga nagtatarnish lang ng image ng Dumaguete, hindi mga taga-Dumaguete. Okay, tulad nung katabi nyo. You know, Dumaguete is a, it's been, I don't know, I think the past 5 years, we've been getting a lot of tourists, we've been getting a lot of national attention because of the simple fact that, you know, this is a beautiful city. It's called the City of Gentle People. Guess what? Jericho is called the City of Palms. It is called the City of Palms. In fact, it is such a beautiful city. So it's but fitting for them, you know, after a tiring journey coming from Galilee, coming from all of these cities. Everyone's excited. Guys, before we go to Jerusalem, lay over muna sa Jericho. Okay, why? Because it's called the City of Palms. It is such a beautiful city. You know how beautiful this city is? Jewish historian Josephus said, the city of Jericho is so beautiful that Mark Antony actually gave that as a gift to the Egyptian queen Cleopatra. And that is in your history books. Okay, that is how beautiful this city is, that, you know, Mark Antony gave this city as a gift to Cleopatra. So it is a beautiful city. And mind you, you know, the city of Jericho, or rather, shall I say this, the cities of Jericho, you'd come to understand that there are actually two cities of Jericho. If you've noticed, the city of Jericho actually appeared in the Old Testament of your Bible. Remember Rahab? She's from Jericho. Remember Joshua and his army? And when they went around and marched around 7 times to the walls of Jericho that crumbled down. So that Jericho is the ancient city of Jericho, the old city of Jericho. And what we're talking about here is the newer city of Jericho. But nonetheless, both Jerichos are side by side. Both Jerichos are beautiful cities, right? Like what I said, of course, second to Dumaguete. Okay, and I think God will agree with that, okay? Okay, now, I'm just trying to lay down some important facts for us to understand. Now, here's the thing. As is the case in our modern world, and I'd like for us to know this, where the crowd is, there the merchants would be, right? If you're here and you're into business, you'd come to understand that, you know, you don't open up a business in a place that is, you know, remote. You start looking at the foot traffic, and that's the time you start putting up a business. I have a friend here in this church who opened up a business called Southern Tea. Asan na yun? Dito ba yung mga yan? Okay, meron po silang Southern Tea. Nag-open sila strategic location sa labas mismo ng Siliman. Okay, nagpapaninig ako kay Donis. Wala naman pala dito. Okay, pinag ko naman na sana. Kala ko makakakuha ko ng milk tea. But anyway, you know, where the crowd is, there the merchants would be. Not just that. I think it's common logic for us to say that where the merchants are and where the crowd is, there the beggars will be. And that is basically what we have here. Okay, as he was nearing Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. The Bible says he was a beggar because he was a blind man. So let's try looking at this for a while. The Bible says he was blind. Then, you know, the word blind here is, in its original Greek, is the word tuflos, and which simply means opaque. Remember, there are three ways at which we could look at something. It's either something is transparent, or something is translucent, or it is opaque. In this case, okay, when we say blind man, wala po talaga siyang nakikita. During their time, I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you're reading the New Testament, the Gospel account, napansin niyo ba maraming bulag? Bakit ang daming bulag sa panahon nila? You know, during their time, there was a prevailing or a rampant disease called tuflosis, okay, which affects the sight of people. This man probably was not born blind. It could be that he was infected by something and he became blind because his prayer was for his sight to be recovered. Okay, so there was a sickness called tuflosis. The fascinating thing is, we're looking at the book of Luke, is it right? So this is in the book of Luke. Guess what? This account can also be found in the book of Mark. This account can also be found in the book of Matthew. And guess what? In Mark chapter 10, verse 46, the same story, Mark chapter 10 identifies who this man is. He has a name. And his name was Bartimaeus, which simply means the son of Timaeus. So when you say Bar, it simply means son of. Okay, so son of Bartimaeus. All right, so pwede niyo idugtong sa pangalan niyan. Think about the name of your dad and put Bar in front of it. That could be your name on Facebook. Okay, so you could use that on Twitter to stalk someone. Okay, so Bar Kevin, I don't know, something like that. That's basically what we have here. Okay, so his name was Bartimaeus. Okay, his name was Bartimaeus. Now here's the thing, I'd like for us to understand how difficult it is at their time to be a blind person, much more a beggar. It's not easy to be a blind person during their time. You know why? Because if you're a blind person during their time, you're not going to have any livelihood. You'll be reduced to begging. You cannot have those blind massage. You're not going to have any of those kinds of opportunities. Okay? Now look, let me just look at this. What makes this more difficult for blind people? There is a prevailing culture among the Jewish people at that time that if you are blind, people would make a conclusion. You are blind as a result of your sin. People would say, you're blind. Anong kasalanan kaya ang ginawa ng taong to? Siguro ito, siya yung kasama nung sinful woman nung Luke chapter 7. Case in point, look at this one. John chapter 9, verse 1, it says here, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. Look at this one. Not the Pharisees, his disciples asked Jesus, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? So meaning to say, it was culturally acceptable during their time that if you are a blind person, you are a sinner. The reason why you're blind is because that is God's judgment over your sin. Ooh, what a terrible culture to be in, is it right? Ang hirap po maging bulag sa panahon na yon. So meaning to say, what we have here is that if you're a blind person, you will be despised by the society. People don't want to have anything to do with you. This man was so insignificant. In fact, Bartimaeus, that wasn't really his name. That was just an association that he has from his dad.
So it's not like Simon, son of Jonah. It wasn't like that. It was just Bartimaeus. That is how insignificant and despised this person is. I can just imagine how terrible life will be for this person. I think, guess what? For the younger students here, ang hirap siguro pag tayo yung naging blind. Imagine nito. Just imagine this with me. Imagine in every day mo walang Facebook. Scroll, scroll ka. Hanggang scroll lang. Hindi ka makapag-tweet. Hindi ka makapag-selfie. Kanina nga, nag-park ako dyan. May nagsiselfie mga dalawang estudyante doon sa harap ng Volkswagen sa harap. So wala pong ganun. Ang hirap po. Maraming madidepress generation na to. Malamang yung text, yung cell, malamang may cellphone yun. Tapos wala na. 15,000 text message. Hindi nababasa. I'd like for us to understand how difficult it was for this man. Now here's the fascinating thing. You know, I'd like for us to understand that when we start talking about blindness, everyone say blindness. I'd like for us to look at this in its spiritual lens for a while. Look at this one. You know, furthermore, there are important aspects to the backdrop of this story that we shouldn't miss out. Meron pong importance to. Okay, bakit nga ba? Bakit nga ba sa New Testament maraming bulag? Bakit nga ba parang lagi na lang, every time I go into the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, I always encounter Jesus, you know, healing, restoring the sight of blind people. Now look at this one. In the Old Testament, you won't be hard-pressed to find verses about blindness in the Old Testament. In fact, I have gathered some for you. Look at this one. Here are some texts, scriptures, okay? Verses in the Old Testament that talks about blindness. Look at this one. Allow me to read it for all of us. Psalm 146, verse 8. Apat lang to, ha? Marami pa yan. Pwede niyo Google mamaya. It says here, the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises those who bow down. The Lord loves the righteous. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 18. Hear you deaf, and look you blind that you may see. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 7. To open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and to those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind will be open, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. What do you observe here? What do you observe here? Guess what? Look at this one. Not all of them, though, randomly chose those verses, but guess what? Many of these verses that you will find in the Old Testament that has something to do with blindness, it talks about what? It talks about that its healing is indicative of the work of the coming Messiah. The Old Testament starts talking about blindness, but it would also say that when the Messiah comes, he will open blind eyes. Catch it? Now here's what makes it more fascinating. What makes this more interesting is the fact that, like, if you go to scriptures, you would come to understand that it will be difficult for you to find someone who has restored the eyes of a blind other than Jesus. So blindness is intertwined in the Messiah. So when you're blind, it points to the Messiah. Blindness, think about the Messiah. Because the Messiah is the one who's going to open the blind. New Testament, blindness always associated with Jesus. No one else. Why is this so? Because physical blindness is a metaphor for spiritual blindness. So ultimately, friends, the issue here is much deeper. We're looking at Jesus restoring the eyes, the physical sight of people, but guess what? The rest of us, all of us here this afternoon, okay, apart from the grace of God, we are all spiritually blind. And it is only Jesus who will open up our spiritual eyes to see, experience His grace, mercy, and love for every single one of us. In verse 36, it says here, that this is now the curiosity aspect of this beggar, of this blind man. It says here, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. I want to ask this question for a while. If you look at this verse, to a certain extent, this doesn't make sense. This doesn't make sense. You know why? Because this man right here is not a rookie beggar. This man understands foot traffic. It's like, naamoy ko na yung paa ng mga tao. Nararamdaman ko na yung mga tao. Alas 4 na ng hapon. Rush hour. He understands crowd calendar. He knows all of these things. But for him to ask this, hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. It was unusual for him to feel unusual about a certain and specific crowd going by. So meaning to say, this gives us a picture that there is something different with this specific nature of crowd. If you look at this, you'd come to understand that a lot of us, if we read this story, will say, when he started crying out to Jesus, that was his step of faith. Guess what? Ito pa lang po, step of faith na. He has already showed his level of faith just by inquiring. You know why? Because he knows for a fact that there is something different with this crowd. That which his eyes cannot see, his heart can discern. He knew for a fact that on this specific day, I know for a fact, just by judging but just by looking at how I feel in my heart right now, I know for a fact that today I'm gonna get something more than coins. He started discerning all of these things. And that is what it takes, faith to be able to do that. I'd like for us to understand this, and you know, Jesus appeals to our faculties. You remember? Remember the sinful woman last week? He was looking for Jesus with an alabaster flask. Where's Jesus? Where's Jesus? The moment he fell at the feet of Jesus, what happened? He started weeping uncontrollably. That is what happens to us when we start discerning the presence of Christ, the presence of Jesus in our lives. You know, Bartimaeus knew for a fact that something different, okay, was in this crowd, that there was someone in this crowd who's going to bring about breakthrough in his life. You know, the fascinating thing here was that, you know, Bartimaeus was on the path of grace. He was just, man, he was at the right place at the right time. Meaning to say, he was at the path of grace. Let me just try to bring that down to all of you here today. If you've been attending Victory for quite some time now, do you folks realize this? That every single Sunday, every single text message is for someone inviting you for a Victory group. Every single time that, you know, someone shakes your hand and welcomes you to church, do you folks realize that you are in the path of grace? You are in the path of, you being here this afternoon, you are in the path of grace. And there is a potential breakthrough that God is what? Readily and able to give you. And he wants you to have it. So here's the question for us. What do we do when we are in the path of grace? What do we do when we are in the path of grace? Take the cue. Okay, among all people, take the cue from the blind man. It says in verse 38, here's what you do. Okay, when you're in the path of grace, it says here, he cried out. He cried out. But guess what? He didn't just cry out something, because what you cry out is equally important. And that is where it leads us to the next section, and that is the confession. Okay, the confession. When we say confession, okay, it talks about our declaration, the things that goes out of our mouth. Is very important. Look at this one. This is fascinating. In verse 37, it says here, and they told Jesus, he was asking, I feel like something's going on. What's the commotion all about? Who's in the crowd? And they told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. What do we have here? Look at this one. Verse 37, verse 38. The crowd said, Jesus of Nazareth. Of course he heard that. He was not deaf. When he heard that, he said something. Jesus of? No. Jesus what? Jesus, son of David. So you kind of get the picture. There were two confessions here. The confession of the crowd, the people around him, and the confession of the blind man. His confession was, this man is the son of David. Their confession was, this man is Jesus of Nazareth. When you say Jesus of Nazareth, guess what? It's nothing extraordinary. It's like saying Kim of Pagadian. Right? It's like saying Christy of Sibulan. It's like saying Chiclet of Red Cross. It's like saying Kevin of Singapore. Singaporean yan, ha? Pakita mo, bro. Pakita mo. There's nothing extraordinary with that. Now, guess what, friends? These are people whose sight is all well. 2020 vision. Guess what? They're celebrating the coming of Jesus. Yet, their confession. Sino yan? Jesus of Nazareth? Bro, Jesus of Nazareth? Ay, hindi pala nila hinawakan yung mga ganun. Jesus of Nazareth? Itong taong to, bulag, hindi nakikita si Jesus. Ang sabi niya, Jesus, son of David. Let me just try to explain it for a while. He started crying out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. He was not asking, Jesus, are you the son of David? He just confessed that he was the son of David. You know what? It was a dangerous thing for him to confess that. In a sense that it is indicative of a confession that says, someone is above Caesar Because David was a king. Israel at this time was under Jewish rule. And there is such a thing that we call Pax Romana, Roman peace. No one would dare destroy Roman peace because you're going to be under investigation from the Roman soldiers. So what do we have here? Every single one of the empire of the Roman people would say, Caesar is Lord. And here comes a blind man, reckless in his words, saying, nope, Jesus, son of David, this man is the king. He was making a confession. And let me just say, tell you this. I was telling a while ago about, in the Old Testament, it points to the Christ when it comes to opening up the eyes of the blind. Guess what? Bible teaches us that the messianic line will come from the line of David, meaning to say the Savior of Israel will be coming from the line of David. He has seen something that not too many people have seen. You know what makes this more fascinating? What makes this more fascinating is that there's no one else in the Lucan account. There's no one else in the Lucan account that we hear anyone calling Jesus this kind of title. Only this blind man right here. Ano pong nakita niya? Bulag naman siya, wala siyang nakitang scepter. Hindi niya naman nakita si Jesus sitting on a throne. Pero ang declaration niya, son of David to. Ito ang Savior natin. He was blind, yet he saw something. The ones who had sight didn't see what this blind man saw. He started confessing who this man is. In verse 39, it says here, look at this one. And those, oh my goodness, look at this one. And those who were in front, look at this one. They did something to him. They rebuked him, telling him to be silent. Tumahimik kang bulag ka. Tumahimik kang beggar ka. You know, the Bible says he was rebuked. He was just told to shut up. You know, in the Philippines, at least many of you know this, but there was a time where this made national news, wherein, I'm not quite sure if it was the former President Bush who visited the Philippines, but anyway, there was a time wherein the practice of Filipinos, at least in the capital city of the Philippines, that every time, you know, foreign dignitaries would come here, every time they would come here and visit the Philippines, we have a bad practice in the Philippines wherein, you know what we do? We would try to cover with tarpaulin the squatters area. So that when the entourage would come with all these dignitaries, they will not have a sight of the real suffering behind those tarpaulin. Sometimes we didn't just cover those with tarpaulins, but we painted them color of all colors, color pink. We painted all of these houses, okay, in the squatters area with color pink. Why? Because people feel like, you know, we have a mindset that, you know, we have to buffer the dignitaries from the sufferers. Guess what? The God that we worship? You don't do that to him. People told him, shut up. He's too busy for you. Wrong answer. Because Jesus is close to the brokenhearted. You do that to your other kings. Not with this man right here. Not with this man right here. People started rebuking him. And here's what happens. Here's how he responded to the rebuke. It says here, but, look at this one. He cried out all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Talk about persevering faith. You know what? He simply wants one thing. You know what? He simply wants healing. And he doesn't care what other people might say. Does it have to be what? Politically correct? For some of you need to take a lead from this story right here. That sometimes in the campus, in the workplace, you have to be politically correct because you don't want to offend people. Guess what? If it's the truth, by all means, say it. Have you ever been on an airplane wherein, you know, you remember before boarding, you go up, sometimes there are people downstairs, crew members telling you, for those of you seated in rows 1 to 16, take the first stair. For those of you seated row 17 down to verse 36, please take the stairs at the back. Pero di ba meron talaga matigas ang ulo? Di ba? Ikaw nakaupo na, merong from row 2 pumasok sa likod. Dala-dala yung luggage siya. Ano mangyari ngayon? Babarasuhin niya yung sarili niya. He would what? He would make his way to row 2, okay, bumping all of those people. Well, at least that's a good, bad illustration for persevering faith. You have here two kinds of Christ. In Luke chapter 38, verse and 39, the first it says here, the word Christ, the word bow wow, okay? That's not a rap song, okay? Bow wow. Like, wow, yippee, yo, yippee, you know that? It simply means prolonged shout. And the other one in verse 39 is the word krazo, which means scream, to call aloud, meaning to say he was trying to what? He was trying to overpower the noise of the crowd. He simply wants to be heard out of desperation. Friends, I want you to understand this. There will be voice in your life that you will have to be over, that you will have to overpower with faith. There will be records that will tell you you are not good enough. There will be times when you'll be confronted with things telling you you're not going to get healing and all of these things, but you have to overpower all of these things, all of these voices with faith. And at least in this instance, it has to be a persevering faith. I like what Richard Sieves says. He said, measure not God's love and favor by your own feeling. He said, the sun shines as clearly in the darkest day as it does in the brightest. The difference is not in the sun, but in some clouds which hinder the manifestation of light thereof. Do you folks realize that a lot of times, or maybe sometimes, the reason why we don't get our breakthroughs is because of our unbelief? Friends, unbelief is a sin. Bible teaches us to walk by faith and not by sight. In verse 40, it says here, look at this one. And Jesus stopped. Oh my goodness, Jesus stopped. And he commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him. He actually asked this guy, what do you want? Now look at this one. This is quite interesting because, you know, Jesus was set to go to Jerusalem. Let me just ask this question once again. What was going to happen in Jerusalem once again? He was going to get crucified. He was going to be flogged. People will persecute him. So guess what? You know, Jesus was dead set. His mind was very clear. Nothing will stop me from fulfilling God's will. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. But he stopped because of what? Because of a passionate cry of a blind man in his tracks. Do you folks catch that? Do you folks catch that? I want you to understand this. The God that you worship is more than willing to what? To hear you out. To listen to your cries. R. Kent Hughes says, I love this. Look at this one. He says, Jesus is instantly attentive to all of our cries. Even when a million of us beggars cry to him at the same time, the heart's cry of one in need is far sweeter to Christ than the shallow hallelujahs of the crowd. Grace changes everything. And a God that we worship is a gracious God. He is attentive to your cries, attentive to our pleas. You know what's fascinating here? I told you that, you know, there are several accounts for this one. We're looking at the account of Luke. Look at this. In Mark chapter 10, verse 50, the same story, it says here, when Jesus stopped, he stopped and said, someone's calling my name. Can you bring that guy to me? Bible says, look at this one. Mark chapter 10, verse 50. He did something. Bible says he, what? He threw his cloak aside, jumped to his feet, and come to Jesus. This blind man, Bible says, he threw his what? He threw his cloak aside. Perhaps that cloak is his only possession. Perhaps that cloak is the very thing that kept him warm at night. That cloak is his sole treasure. He threw it aside. Remember, the woman was more than willing to break his alabaster flask. You know what, friends? When it comes to trade-offs, every sacrifice that you give to Jesus is reasonable worship. aside, went to Jesus, probably cried to Jesus, hugged Jesus. Can you just imagine this? How did he do that? How did he? I don't know. I don't know what happened. Siguro hinag niya Jesus. Jesus, sabi ni Jesus, uy, si Judas yan, dito ka, dito ako. Hindi niya nakita eh. And here's what Jesus said. What do you want me to do for you? Wow. What do you want me to do for you? Duh. Parang, hanging shades. Shades, Lord, yung Ray-Ban. Obvious ba? You know, I want to highlight that for a while. Can you imagine that? I told you, this man was despised. He was an outcast. Remember when you were in high school? It's either you were the victim or you did this to someone. That you have a clique group. Someone is always an outcast. You don't want that person to be part of your group. This man is a cultural outcast. No one would associate with him. Now guess what? An outcast, Jesus comes to him. Okay lang, outcast ka muna yan. What do you want me to do for you? Friends, teka lang. The Lord, the creator of all good, the creator of everything, is more than willing to serve and subject himself to an outcast. Hindi pa ba love to? Hindi pa ba grace to? That's why if you come to think of this, for some of you here who has been in the path of grace but have not been responding to this well, why would you reject a God whose only motive is to love you? That's something that I cannot fathom why people would have something like that. Would have those kinds of thoughts. Then it says here, look at this one, verse 42. A case wherein Jesus is beyond rabbi. He's beyond teacher. He's beyond a good teacher to his disciples. Because it says here, and Jesus said to him, recover your sight. Your faith has made you well. Oh. Yun lang? As easy as that? No smoke machine, no guitar, no strobe lights. Jesus simply said, recover your sight. You know why? You know why? Because the God that we worship has the authority over, read the New Testament, he has authority over demons, disease, and death because he is God himself. Because he is God himself. The fascinating thing here is that when Jesus said to him, recover your sight, your faith has made you well. Look at this one. In the account of Matthew, it's quite different. Merong dagdag because in the book of Luke, it was zeroing in on one blind beggar. Guess what? Meron pala siyang kaibigan. Sa book of Matthew, meron siyang kaibigan. There were two of them among the crowds of beggars perhaps. Pero meron siyang body, pareho silang bulag. Hindi ko alam anong pastime nila. Siguro, tagu-taguan. Di ba? Mga ganon. Oh, asan ako? Eh, andyan ka lang. It's something like that. Just imagine that. He had a friend, but guess what? Between the two of them, only one cried out. Only one cried out. The other one didn't cry. But you know what happened? Only one cried out. Look at this one. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 34, Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. It says here, immediately they received their sight and followed him. Guess what? His faith saved them both. This is grace changes everything. Your faith does not just affect your life. It affects your dad, your mom, your wife, your husband, your kids, your relatives. It affects your entire household. This is what we see here. The faith that you display or the lack thereof will directly affect your community, your society, your home, the people around you for that matter. I'm just imagining this. Can you imagine this for a while? What was the first thing that they saw? The first thing that they saw was the face of Jesus. First thing they saw was the face of Jesus. And friends, let me just try to balance this for a while. Look at this. When you say his faith healed him, I want you to understand it's not faith on your faith. Catch it? It's not faith in victory. It's not faith on the pastor. Are folks getting this? It's faith on what he declared earlier on, Son of David. Faith in Christ. Healing comes from Christ alone. Faith doesn't heal. Jesus heals. The object of your faith is important. Kung ang tingin mo kay Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth lang, baka walang paruroonan yung faith mo. Pero pag ang tingin mo sa Kanya, Jesus, Son of David, then perhaps you're setting yourself up to be wrecked for the entirety of your life because you're setting yourself up in the path of grace. Bible says, and immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God and all the people. Look at this one. Immediately, Bible says, there's no progression. Walang progression. It's not like, may nakikita ka na ba? Remember, there was a time that it was like that. But this one was so immediate. Jesus' healing is so immediate. It's so absolute. And guess what? It is verifiable. You cannot fake blindness. There's a lot of fake healers out there. And sasabihin nila, oh, may sakit pa ba? Oh, nakakalakad na ako. You can always fake that. But blindness? You can never fake that. And Jesus was so sure that this man has recovered his sight. Because why? Because Bible says he started following him. You know, following Christ is a mark of true conversion. Mark ng true conversion. Pag ikaw, if ikaw inopen ni Lord yung spiritual eyes mo at tinawag mo sarili mong Christian, pinilitan mo yung bio mo sa Twitter, sa Facebook, sa Instagram, daughter of the King. Diba? Mahilig kayo sa mga yun, di ba? Naglalagay pa kayo ng verse, kasama ng picture niya, yung mga ganun bagay. The mark of a true conversion is following. Because truth of the matter is, you can actually receive a miracle and yet not follow Christ. This man, the Bible says, followed Christ and glorified him. Here's another thing that happened. And all the people, when they saw it, everyone say, all the people. Can you imagine how many people were there at that time? Thousands of people. Bible says all of them gave praise to God. You know, this was a divine setup, friends. Here's my encouragement for all of you here today. Perhaps God is setting you up for a big breakthrough, that people will glorify His name through you. Your faith will directly affect the people around you. This is a preview of the coming of the coming kingdom of Christ. At the end of the day, we have to understand that for all of us here, we might not be physically blind, but we are all spiritually blind. But thank God for His grace, right? Because from darkness, we are now in light. We are sons and daughters of God, redeemed by God Himself.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.